Amen. Praise the Lord for the worship of His church. Amen. I love how our praise team leads us in that song, and I love the end of that song where it's just our voices singing and praising the Lord. And so I absolutely love hearing God's people worship Him. This morning, as it says on the screen there, we're going to be talking about God is on the move. And so excited for this morning and looking forward to what the Lord is going to do in our midst as He opens our hearts and minds to understand what He has for us. I just really wanted to take some time and pause. We just finished up a series, and we're getting ready to move into kind of some Easter time messages and all of that. And so I wanted to take some time this morning and really reflect on, honestly, the wonder and blessing of the church. Just the wonder and blessing of the church. And I don't just mean our church, I just mean the body of Christ, the gift of the church. The gift it is to us in ways, God's grace, a place to worship our amazing God and Savior. It gives us a place to grow in Him and through Him and grow in relationship one with another. It gives us a place to serve one another in so many different ways. It gives us a place to give and support through offerings and tithes to the work of the gospel. And it gives us a way to bond together with the body of Christ in a way like nothing else will. The church is a gift and a blessing to His people. Now, before we dive too much more into the message, I do need to address something that's come up a couple times already this morning. And it's already kind of like I'm about ready to lose my mind. And here's what it is. I've been pinched like 2 to 3 times already this morning. Green. I'm wearing green. Okay. It's on the sock. It's down there. It's sunglasses, but it's green. Okay. So the next mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, if your kid pinches me, I'm going to get them. Now, I don't know. This morning I was getting ready and I was getting dressed and stuff. And I was like, I don't really have like a green shirt to wear. Please don't buy me a green shirt. It's fine. But I was kind of thinking, oh, you know what? I've got these socks that someone gifted me with. I'll wear those. There's some green on there. They'll be great. And I'm getting ready for church, and I was thinking, do kids still pinch each other? Like, is that a thing? Because I know growing up and going to elementary school in the 80s, it was tough. Like, you had to be, like, on guard, like, because kids were looking for chances to pinch you. And it wasn't like this little, oh, I got you. There was welts, like, when you were done. And anyone that grew up in the 80s, you know it's a different world, okay? I always reflect back on the things that we did in our childhood, and I think, how did we live through that, right? But I was wondering this morning, do kids still pinch each other for not wearing green? Like, within 5 minutes of being in this room, I got pinched. And I was like, okay, they still do that. So I'm wearing green. Don't pinch me, okay? All right, because it's coming back. But I do want to really dive into this idea this morning about the church, the body of Christ, and just the but in the world the church is, because I truly believe that God is on the move, not just here, but in the world today. And if you're not careful, and if all you're taking in is the worldly media and all the things that that means and all the negativity and all this doom and gloom stuff that we feel like sometimes if we're not careful, the church is losing and that Christ is losing and that God has somehow given up His throne and we might as well call it quits, we need to stop, pause, and reflect that God is doing something in the world today. God is saving people today. God is moving in ways among this world today. Of course, the world is not what we would hope it would be. Of course, there's things that happen that are wickedness and there's evils and all of that. But I find that when I let that be the predominant thing that I'm dwelling on, man, I start living a little defeated. I start living a little kind of down and gloomy, like, well, what's the point? It's all. But then I spend a little time in His Word. And I've been so thankful on Wednesday nights. We're actually finishing it up probably in the next week or two. Of going through the book of Revelation. And if you're in Wednesday night, you've already heard this, but I absolutely love the book of Revelation because it's such an encouraging book of the Bible. We don't always think that when we think about Revelation. We think about all the judgment and all of that. We think, well, that's not a very encouraging book. But by the way, when you think about the book of Revelation, it was written to the early church. They were under great persecution. And during the time of persecution, John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, listen, I know you're going through some things, and there's going to be some things that's going to happen in the world in the future. But I want you to know, God is on His throne. Nothing has changed. God has already won the victory in Christ. He's not going to win. He has won. and we will rejoice with him as more than conquerors in Christ. And so we're going to finish up Revelation, but I hope to those that have been a part of it, it's been encouragement, because we tend to think, man, but look around us and look at all that's happening and what we're hearing and you know, people leaving the church and whatever. That's not a new thing. Ever since the founding of the church, there's been people that have drifted from the church and left the church. Jesus's ministry, multitudes come and follow when he was giving out food. But the minute he said, you know what? You need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. They said, that's gross. We're out. That's my paraphrase of what happened. That's my wrapped up summary translation. But basically they said, no. When he said, you only come for the food, you only come for the miracle, but would you follow me? No. So this is nothing new. But just because there are those who refuse to follow Christ, just because there's things happening in our world that we know are not pleasing to God, does not mean that God is hindered by those things. He is moving today. He is active in the world today. And in the world today, we see the church that is such a blessing and such a gift actually being defined in many ways. We actually addressed this in a series we did last year around this time called The Church Is. And if you missed it, you can actually go back on our app. It's still on there. You just go back and search The Church Is and it should come up for you. And along with that, if you'd like to, I was traumatic and I was trying to get out of that trauma, move on, freedom. If you'd like to take notes, the notes are very, very simple this morning because I wanted this morning to be a simple message. But the notes are available on our app. You can go to North Goodland BC in your app store and download that if you don't have it already. You can go to media and then message notes and then find today's notes if you'd like to follow along. But the church today has been defined in many, many things. And I want to talk about the church, the body of Christ from God's word. You see, some see the church as purely a place of entertainment. It's purely a place to come and watch a show, a performance. Many people attend church thinking church happens up here. Like this is church and you're just the audience watching church. It sounds silly, but I'll be honest with you guys for just a moment. And I'm not picking on anybody that does this. There is a strategic reason why we leave the lights on when we worship. And for some of you, you might be thinking, what are you talking about? We've had people visit our church and say, thank you for leaving the lights on so I could actually see around me in my seat. And the reason we do that is because here's what I don't want you to think. If I dim the lights out here and all the light is up here, you tend to think you're watching something up here, like a play or at a theater. But church is not happening up here. Church is happening here. We're engaging as the body of Christ. Yes, I'm so thankful for God blessing us with talented musicians. And we are overwhelmed with talent in this church. I'm so thankful for it. I love being led in worship by a praise team that their heart is, don't look at us, look to Jesus. It's not about us, it's about Jesus. And I love that about our ministry here. But I'm so thankful we have people to lead us in worship. But don't think for a second because you're out there and they're up here that you're just watching worship. You're worshipers. You're engaging in this. But some go to church and it's kind of like entertainment. It's just watching a show or going to the theater. Some, they go to church and it's more about just being motivated by the guy on the stage to take that next step in your career, to take that next step in this part. And I'm all for people taking next steps. We should be stepping out and stepping up and stepping forward in Christ. But this isn't about just motivating you to achieve some human goal that you've placed in your life. Now, I believe God wants us to strive and desire for something more in him. And so, but it's not about that primarily. You see, others see the church as it should be seen, the body of Christ, founded by Christ for the glory of God. And in understanding that, we're blessed to be a part of that body. See, I was reminded a couple Fridays ago as we took part in our Voice of the Martyrs event that happened on a Friday evening. And I was reminded again that God is doing something in the church today. God is building his church today. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. God is moving and impacting our world for his glory. And when I was sitting through that Voice of the Martyrs event, and if you missed it, I mentioned last week that I would give you some information. So if you missed the event and you weren't able to be a part of that, you can actually go online and you can actually stream that in your home. So all you need to do, I'm going to give you the website. So if you want to jot it down, that's fine. If you think you're going to remember, you probably won't, so you probably want to jot it down. What was that website again? I know the preacher said it. It's imneventcom. So imneventcom. watchnow.com. When you go on there, it's going to take you right to, you'll see the screen. You can click right on Watch Now, and it might make you register or give your email. I'm not sure how that works that way, but you can click on that, and you actually start streaming the event if you missed it. But I was overwhelmed of hearing how God is moving in the world today. Among the stories of those that have been persecuted and being persecuted, we tend to think, have empathy for them. Like, I'm so sorry they're going through that. But in the midst of that, hearing that they're going through this persecution, we heard also of how God is using that to literally lead thousands to Christ in the Middle East. And by the way, this isn't just happening in the Middle East. This is a global gospel where God is saving people all over the world. Places where persecution is, places where pastors, for just doing what I'm doing right now, what I talked about earlier about that little card, if I was to give that to somebody in certain places in the world, I could be arrested. For just preaching the gospel, just preaching to the church, I could be arrested. My property could be seized. My family could be taken. In some places in the world, that's what Christians are dealing with. And in the midst of that, we think, oh man, what a tragedy. How is that a tragedy when the gospel of Jesus Christ is going forth? Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brother. The things, this is Philippians, I believe, the things that Philippians 1, the things that have happened to me have happened unto the furtherance of the gospel. That in the palace, and I'm paraphrasing, or the prison, gospel is being preached. And so I rejoice, and so you rejoice. I might have to go through some trials, you might have to go through some trials, but the gospel is going forth, so we rejoice in the gospel going forth. You see, God is on the move. I want to unpack this morning by looking at two key kind of elements. The first one is Christ is building his church. This is a very familiar passage, but every time I talk about the church, I believe we need to go to this passage because it is the foundational text to understand what we're talking about. And it keeps our minds in the right thinking when we think about the church. That it's not us doing it, but it's him doing it. And we get to be a part of that. And so Matthew chapter 16, if you have a copy of God's word, Matthew chapter 16, or scroll there on your device. If you do not have a copy of God's word and you are on our app, there is a way to see the Bible text there. Or if you'd like to use one of the Bibles in the seats around you, there are some copies of God's word there. So if you don't have a copy of God's word, I would encourage you to use one of those. Matthew chapter 16, if you're using one of the Bibles provided, you can just turn to page 684. So if you're using one of the Bibles provided, page 684, Matthew chapter 16. So Matthew chapter 16, we're going to start in verse 13. So the book of Matthew was first gospel that we have in our four gospels. It's an amazing recording of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ while on planet Earth between his birth and his death, burial, and resurrection. And here we find in Matthew 16 an amazing conversation with Jesus and his disciples. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Son of Man is a title given to Christ. It's referenced often in the Gospels. He says, basically, what are people saying about me? You guys are out and about. You hear things. What are people saying about me? Who do people think that I am? And these are his disciples, the closest to him. Listen to verse 14. And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist." Now, remember, up to this point, you're going to read that John the Baptist earlier was martyred for the faith, and Jesus gives an amazing eulogy for John. It literally says, beyond Jesus Christ, of course, that he was the greatest prophet born among women. He was such an amazing forerunner of Jesus Christ. And so some people think that he's reincarnated John the Baptist, that he's the spirit of John the Baptist come back to life. Some say Elias or Elijah come back to life. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So basically, you're just one of these prophets. By the way, it's not an accident that John the Baptist is listed with Elijah and Jeremiah or one of the prophets, because John the Baptist actually would be considered more of an Old Testament prophet than a New Testament prophet. I know his story is recorded in the New Testament, but actually it's before Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, so he would actually be an Old Testament prophet. So if you want to stump your friends, you can say, just ask them today at lunch, if they're here, this won't work. So don't try that. But If you want to stump maybe one of your Christian friends and say, hey, who did Jesus say, or who does the Bible say is the greatest prophet? It's John the Baptist. And so again, what are the people saying? Well, you're a prophet. That's really what they're saying. You're just a prophet. Oh, but Jesus is so much more than just a prophet. He is a prophet. He does speak on behalf of God, but he's so much more than that. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? I absolutely love that. He doesn't even acknowledge it. What's the popular opinion? Well, they think this. Great, who do you think I am? He just zeroes in on their answer, because they're the ones, by the way, that should have an understanding, at least to some degree, that he's more than a prophet. They've seen all that he's done so far. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood is not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's pray and ask God to affirm these words in our hearts and minds. Father, we come before you today, Lord, so thankful for the gathering of your body, the gathering of your church. And I pray that as we come together, Lord, as Zach prayed already during our time of offering, that we would not leave this place the same way we came in. I don't know what that means for everybody here. I don't know what that means for those that are watching online, but I do know that you are a God who is on the move, and you are a God who is moving us and shaping us, conforming us to the image of Christ. So I don't know what everyone came in here with. I don't know their hearts. I don't know their minds like you do. But I pray that whatever it is, that they would right now not try to push it away if there's a struggle or a trial or a pain or whatever it is, Lord. Don't push it away from you, but Lord, I pray that they would give it to you as an act of offering. Say, Lord, I need you to deal with this. I need you to help me in this. And I pray that this would not distract from what you want to do today, but I give it to you. And so, Lord, I pray that as we offer up those things to you, that our minds would be clear, our hearts would be receptive to what you have for us, that you'd help us, Lord, to not be distracted or drift away, but to be attentive to what you want to do this morning. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would give us wisdom and understanding from the Word of God. We don't have to convince you or beg you to be here, because you are in our midst, because the Word of God is present, the body of Christ is present, and we know that you are working. And Lord, above all things, I pray if there's somebody sitting in this room right now that has never for themselves personally received Jesus Christ, maybe they've gone to church before, maybe they haven't, maybe their family goes to church all the time, maybe they grew up in church, maybe they've memorized the books of the Bible, they've been baptized, they could do all kinds of religious things, but Lord, if they don't know Christ, the Bible says, not Baptist denomination, not Pastor John, but the Bible says that the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is only through Christ that we have been granted eternal life and forgiveness of sins. And I pray if there's somebody here that has never received Christ, that they would repent of their sin, which just means to acknowledge it and to turn from it, which can only be done by the working of your Spirit as you reveal those things to us. I pray they would repent of their sin. I pray they would believe and trust in the name of Christ, believing you died on the cross for their sins, was buried, and rose again. And that in so doing, they would commit their life to you as Lord and Savior. Lord, we don't make you Lord of our life. You are Lord. We merely acknowledge your Lordship. We acknowledge that you are King of Kings. And so, Lord, would you work in all of that this morning? For those that know Christ this morning, I pray you would grow us in our understanding of your church and how we can be involved in that. Father, we love you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing we have to address from this text is that Christ is building his church. It is Christ who is building his church, both locally and globally. It is Christ doing the work of building the church. And what do I mean by that? Well, I want to give you two examples of this from Scripture. One is, he adds to the church. We won't turn there for time's sake, but Acts chapter 2, verse 47. It says, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And if you can go back and read Acts, the early moving of the church, it's amazing to see so many thousands coming to Christ, being saved, and then after their salvation and their profession of faith, being baptized, and then joining with the body of Christ. And I love that phrase, that he added to the church daily such as should be saved, which is established very early in the book of Acts, that that is true not only when it happened in Acts 2, but every single time somebody is added to the church, it is done by the work of Christ, by the work of the Holy Spirit through the gospel. That it's Christ, by his Spirit, adding to the church. Those that were saved are saved because of the grace of God, and therefore they are added by the grace of God. I think it's important that this was established early in the book of Acts, that it was not the work of the apostles that led to the foundation and the fruit of the church. It was Christ that is the foundation. It is Christ doing the work. That all the times in the rest of the book of Acts that you see God move in an amazing way, it was not merely men that were achieving those things. It was Christ through them. It was the Spirit of God working through them. Here's the truth. We don't convert anyone. You don't convert anyone. You don't convict anyone. It is the work of the Spirit that moves in the hearts and minds to bring about conviction of sin, repentance of sin, and calling us out to Christ by faith through grace. It is not my ability to convince someone of their need of salvation. It is not my ability to phrase something in a way that pricks their heart, that they, okay, now I need Jesus. It is the work of God, first and foremost. Now, while I say that, yes, we, his body, the church, under his direction, have a job to do. And that's the preaching and sharing of the word of God, Romans 10. How will they hear except someone preaches? And that word preacher there does not mean the office of pastor. It means a proclaimer, one who proclaims the truth of the gospel. You see, it's not only proclaiming the truth of the gospel to a fallen world. It's praying for God to work in those individual lives. It's asking God to open their hearts and minds to the truth of the gospel. It's seeking Christ daily for our own needs. And greatest of all is his wisdom. It also means serving those around us. Serving those around us. And yet, in all of this, we do not grow a church. Jesus builds his church. I've mentioned before my frustration with church growth strategy, church growth gurus, and that's the only way I can describe them. That's how they come across anyway. And I just scratch my head. And they start off by saying, how many is your church running 150? Well, in 6 weeks, we can get your church to 250. And all you got to do is sign up and buy this book and take this plan and do this. And I just scratch my head. I think we are so dependent upon man's strength, and we're excluding the power of the Holy Spirit in all of this. I heard recently that some Christians, and I don't know the full details, I heard a pastor reference this, and I need to dive into this a little bit more, but he tells a story about some Christians from China that came to America to observe the American church. Yeah, that groan is what I felt. Because if there's anyone that should be observing anyone, we should be observing them. Because they're the ones that have been underground. They're the ones that have flourished in the midst of persecution. Where we as American church, we've gotten lazy and sort of apathetic, for being very honest. And you know, one of the things they said the thing that stood out to them was not just in every church, this is not true of every church and whatever, but they said they noticed in a lot of churches in America the amount of things the church did in their own power, in their own understanding, in their own abilities. And then you click on this website and it's like, hey, do not grow a church. We might grow a crowd. We might grow an audience, but we don't grow a church. It's Jesus who builds his church. And of course, we have a hand in that because he asks us, he calls us, he commands us to be a part of it. Praise God that he does. I mean, you get the blessed opportunity to share Christ with someone. And when they come to Christ, do you know what Jesus does? He adds them to the church. So it's not saying we just sit on our hands and say, okay, Jesus, go. I'm here. I'm rooting for you. We get involved, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But Jesus builds his church. Not only does he build his church, he grows his church. Now, what do I mean by that? I wanted to use the word grow there because I think it's a great way to depict what Jesus does. It's not numerical growth, but spiritual depth. That's what Jesus does for his church. It is the Lord, by the working of the Spirit through the word, that matures and grows us in Christ. We are told to seek his word, to seek his wisdom, to seek his guidance, to set our affections, our desires on the things above, not on the things below, to draw close to the Lord, coming under his authority. And as we begin to do that and put that effort into that walk, he will do his part and he will draw close to us. He will give us that wisdom. He will give us that understanding. James chapter 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, who lacks wisdom? I lack wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, ask of God and he gives it to you liberally. So he asks us to ask for the wisdom. And then he provides what we ask because he will be glorified. We also must note that the growth is not the same for everyone. I think this is something that I know I struggle with at times, and maybe you do too as a follower of Christ. We have to remember that the growth is not the same for everyone. What do I mean by that? We are all walking, if they are in Christ, they're walking with Christ as part of the body, but also as an individual. And God is working in their life and growing them at a pace that God knows they need. And this isn't an excuse to say, well, you know, I'm just not there yet, brother. I'm just not there yet. It's not like that. Because I remember years ago, I had a woman tell me, she said, I know that I should be witnessing, but I don't have a conviction to witness to people for Christ. I just don't have that personal conviction. That's not a personal conviction. That's a command. There's a difference. So I'm not saying we use this as an excuse to just kind of be lazy in our Christian walk. But we understand that everyone is walking with Christ individually as a part of the church. So what do we do as believers? We come alongside them and we do our best to encourage them. But I love what Oswald Chambers says in regards to this, how God works with us individually. And I love this quote. Oswald Chambers says this, "Let God be as unique with others as he is with you." I love that. Let God be unique with others as he is with you. Basically, we can and we should. There is nothing wrong with the believer coming alongside another believer to encourage them in the walk with Christ. We are called to do that. To admonish one another is the biblical term. It just means to nurture. Another word is to counsel one another, to encourage one another. We can and we should encourage each other in our walks with Christ to deeper study, deeper prayer, and deeper service. Yet we must remind ourselves it is their walk with Christ, not ours. So yes, we pray, and again, we admonish to greater things, but we give space for God to do the work in their lives that only he can do. You can't make someone desire to spend time in God's word. You can't. You might guilt them or convict them or talk them into it for a season, but if God's not doing that work in their life and they're not responding to his authority, it's just going to be a fleeting resolution like we do New Year's resolutions, which I know you're like, brother, it's March. Don't bring up the resolution. I done forgot what I even resolved to do. So let's not go there. The truth is that God is on the move by building his church and growing his church. And I think we're seeing it not only globally, but also in our body of Christ. I love hearing people share with me how God has done it for them. I love seeing the men of our church gather on a Wednesday night. And we gather in a little room, the library down there, and we kind of gather around. And Avi, thank you, there's chairs in there now because the men are like, oh, I can sit down now. So they really, you're their biggest hero right now. They love you for that. But I was like, you guys don't need chairs? It's like 20 minutes. What are we doing? But as I've gotten older, I'm like, I could kind of use a chair. I kind of need a chair. But we gather around in that room. And this last week, I don't know, there was like 11 or 12 men in there just praying and seeking the Lord. And I love seeing that growth. Not about numerical only, but also just that depth of saying, no, we hunger to pray for our church and to pray for one another. And somebody shared recently, it might have been this last Wednesday, they shared, they were just so thankful for a church that feels like home. That where you can come in and you can share a prayer concern and people are praying for you and encouraging you and following up with you. And I love hearing that. See, I believe God is building his church. I believe God is growing his church. I believe he's doing it right here. So my question to you is this. Will you and I choose to be a part of what he's doing? Will you and I choose to be a part or continue to be a part of what he is doing? And if so, then my first encouragement to you is, let's get praying. Let's get praying. I believe prayer is the engine that drives the church. Now, for some of you, it's let's keep praying. For others, it's let's get praying. Wherever God would apply that, I encourage you to respond in faith. You see, in Acts 2, it is what the apostles and the early followers of Christ were doing when the Spirit fell and the foundation of the church was laid. They were praying. And I know there are many that constantly pray for this church, Pray for our pastoral staff. Pray for our deacons, our trustees, our volunteers, and our teachers. And it all makes a difference. It makes a huge difference in the ministry of Christ when we see the prayers of God's people doing something in the body, where our leaders are being encouraged through prayer. Now, I got to say that prayer for me in this church has always been kind of amazing. There's an opportunity God gave me years ago that's always stuck with me as an amazing moment for me. Not only my Christian life, but also as part of this church. So years ago, this would be winter of 2002, maybe December of 2002. It could have been Thanksgiving of 2002. I don't really remember the exact moment, but I remember it was about that time. And I remember, some of you might remember this, our college and career class, which I was in at the time, you had a little bit of a tradition. We would go to Big Boy after Sunday evening service. And Shelly knows all about this. I thought about pulling up some old pictures, but I thought, I don't know. We don't need to see that. You know what I'm saying? So, but they show up on Facebook every 10 years or so. But we had this tradition where we would be going to Big Boy. And we were coming from the old church. And so we would drive by this property often. And I don't remember who was all with this group. Because like I said, we went often. It was a thing. And I remember, I mean, Sandra was in that at that time. And so I don't know who else was with me. But I remember we were driving by and the building was framed and up. So the outer walls were up and it was kind of just a shell of a building was here. But everything was wide open. There was no doors per se, locking doors, nothing like that. So, of course, we're going to go take a peek because we're driving by. So we're driving by and I don't remember who else was in the group, but we drove by and I walked into the auditorium here. And I remember I came over and this was all just plywood, right? There was no carpet, no nothing. But these stairs were here. And I remember I came in and I sat down, like literally right here. And I could see all the way through that room. So I could see all the way through to the outer wall over there. So through the kitchen and all of that. And everything's just studded. And it was just this plywood cement slab frame of a building. And I remember it was dark. So that's why I think it was about November, December of 2002. We opened this building in 2003 in March. And so they were getting everything studded. There was really no drywall back here. And remember, I sat here, it was dark and it was quiet. And I don't remember who else was here. Like I said, they were probably roaming around the rest of the building. I don't know. College-age kids, we were probably getting in trouble. I don't know. But remember, I was sitting here and I was just overwhelmed by what God was doing in our church. You see, because about 5 years before this, 4 years before this, the pastor felt led to add on to the other church and said, we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to do a great work here. And we couldn't build down over there. There were some issues with the land. Goofy piece of property, if you're being honest. But it was just a weird piece of property. And we couldn't get any acreage around. Nobody would sell an acre to us to add on. And our little church of 100 and some people at that time started off, I think, in 96, about 40 people or so. About 100 people or so maybe just started praying, filling the altar week after week. And God brought so much finances in to where we bought this property with cash. 22 acres, almost 22 acres bought with cash. And then the building goes up and God is moving. Everyone's so excited. I remember sitting here thinking and just praying, Lord, you are doing something amazing here. And I remember praying, Lord, don't let it stop with this building. Like, Lord, this is not all you can do. And I remember looking around and thinking about chairs being in here and thinking, Lord, you're going to fill this place. Like, it's going to be awesome. Now, I wasn't on staff. I wasn't a pastor at the time. I was just a kid attending here, a college kid. And I was blown away by what God can do. And I remember praying right here. And then I'm sure we went and had way too much food at Big Boy and it was a great night. But here's the reason I want to share that with you. God didn't stop moving in 2003. I don't believe this is enough to hold what God can do when God's on the move. And not because of us, but because of what he is doing. And so here's the key. Let's get praying. Let's keep praying. Let's keep asking God to do what only God can do. Because I believe God has something so amazing in store. And it's not just in numbers of people. It's in that depth of the gospel. And so I want to encourage you to get praying and get plugged in. And some of you are a part of this. And I told you, I've been so excited to share what God is doing. We got a letter this last week from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Emily City. And some of you know that we did a food drive in February. We collected food the whole month of February. We've done this for years and years and years. I think 2014 or 15 was probably the first time we did this. And we've always done it. It started actually in our youth ministry. We started doing it. The teens would collect food for the month of February. And then it kind of spilled out into the church proper. And now it's become something we do every single year. We got a letter this week, or last week, from the St. Paul's Lutheran Church where we were dropping the food off. We try to be really sneaky about it. We just go in, hey, here you go, here's some food. Where are you from? Oh, we're just from North Goodland. All right, see you later, have a good day. And we got a letter back that says, thank you so much for your donation of over 500 pounds of food for our pantry. And that's amazing to me. Now, I didn't weigh the food. We put it in the back of my van, Pastor Greg and I. There was quite a bit. I mean, I was just like, really, there's more? Oh, another cart full? Okay, here we go. And they just went on to talk about how much it encouraged them and delighted their hearts in Christ to know that we're united with them in feeding the hungry in our community. It says this, as long as we have churches and people that believe in feeding the hungry like Jesus asked us to do, we will continue to push forward until this time our Lord and Savior comes again. That's you. That's what you're doing. And you know, you're thinking, it's not me. You're right. It is God in you. It's Christ through you. But we're getting involved by little things like that. Maybe you literally brought up a bag of food and set it on the table. Maybe you just prayed for it. Maybe you just couldn't give, but you prayed, Lord, would you bless this food to the nourishment of somebody's body? You got plugged in. But it's not just that. It's not just putting a check on the plate or just showing up for a donation. I really think that we can get plugged in. We can get connected by being consistent with the basics. Being consistent with the basics. What do I mean by that? Well, you don't have to jump into a ministry position, a leadership position, a teaching role to be plugged in. It all starts. I mean, you can do that. We are always encouraging being present in the church. You can do that if God leads. But it all starts with just being present in the church and with the church. That's where it starts. How do I get plugged in? Just be present. Just be involved in the basics. Just being present on a Sunday and on a Wednesday and on a Sunday evening. And we have those services. We have Sunday morning, which is this time of gathering. We have Sunday evening, which is a time of diving into God's word. It's a family style service. Children are involved. It's an amazing time of just growth. Wednesday night, we dive into a topic. We spend time, a large part of our time some weeks, sometimes not as large, as much as we want, in prayer, just seeking the Lord and asking him to work in a mighty way. And I want to encourage you, don't just pick and choose. Well, I'll go to that one and not that one. Get involved in what the church is doing. Lord, I want to be involved in everything the church is doing. You see, when you just are present, you're making an impact on those around you. You can build relationships, grow in the word, pray for and with one another, lift our voices and sing. It's all part of being in the body of Christ. And I have to share, after that Friday night Voice of the Martyrs event, I want to share just a couple more things and we're going to close. In listening to the stories of those that were persecuted in the Middle East, one story really gripped my heart. The man that was speaking is serving currently, I believe, in Syria and the surrounding regions there. And he shared that it is not uncommon for Christians, already saved people, to travel through difficult terrain, so difficult landscapes, and risk their very lives under actual gunfire and even attack, physical attack and persecution, because they're passing through these regions and they do all of this sometimes daily just to hear the word preached. Not for a performance, not for a praise team, not for a program, not for a personality. They will travel through actual threat of violence, of losing their life, and they're already saved. They already know Christ, but they're so hungry to be discipled in God's word and to know God's word. They said, man, it's worth it to risk our lives. It gripped my heart that they would go through that daily just because of their hunger to be discipled by the word of God. So I have to ask, you don't need to answer out loud, but if we're being honest, so let's just be real for a second. And don't answer out loud, but is that the American church today? Is the American church risking their very life just to go hear the Bible preached and the word of God expounded upon? If we're being really, really honest, Does that describe you and I today? Is that our love for the Word of God? Is that our love for His church? Those that have gone through persecution for Christ, I have come to a realization that the saying, I do not have to go to church to be a Christian, is only declared in the comfortable Western church. That statement, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian, would be absurd to believers in Syria. Their thought would be maybe more biblical, you know, more like what Peter says. Lord, where would we go? You have the keys of life. You have the words of life. You have everything we need. Where else would we go? You see, the Apostle John says something so powerful in his epistle that I hadn't really connected in a certain way as I did when I heard Adrian Rogers, amazing pastor of God's word for many, many years, went home to be with the Lord years ago. He pointed it out, and I was blown away by this. 1 John 2:19 says this, they went out from us, but they were not of us. Not speaking about those who seemed to be Christians, but they really weren't. They walked away from their professed faith. They weren't really believers. It says they went out from us, but they were not of us. What Pastor Rogers pointed out that I never really quite connected this way was that they were going out of the local gathering. What else does John mean there? They went out from us because they were not of us. Well, to go out from us, they had to be gathered with us. That's the church. That's the body of Christ. Pastor Rogers goes on to say this, that was the evident sign of their faith being genuine. He pointed out that our faith in Christ is made most evident in our love and desire to gather with the body of Christ. And that hit me when I heard that. The most evident proof, if you will, of our devotion and love for Christ, our faith being genuine, is our love and desire for the body of Christ, His bride, His word, His worship. Of course, going to church will not save you. However, if our faith is genuine, we should and will desire to gather with other believers to worship and grow. If we are not following that desire, then something is wrong and needs to be addressed. I truly am so excited for what God is doing and continues to do at North Goodland and in the world around us through the gospel going forth. But I want to encourage you, let's make the choice to get involved and get plugged in. Not to take the road of least amount of commitment, but to make our zeal for Christ evident in our love for His bride, the church. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this morning. Father, we thank You for the dear, the audience that's been here today, the crowd that's been here, the church that gathers together. Lord, their dear attention and kindness and their attentive spirit, Lord. I pray that You would work in a mighty way in their midst, in our midst. And Father, I'm so thankful for this place. I'm so thankful for a place that we could gather to do the things that we talked about this morning. I'm so thankful that You are still blessing this place with Your leading and Your guiding. And I believe as long as we continue to preach the gospel and to keep Your word at the forefront, You will continue to do that. Thank You for building Your church, for adding and growing Your church. Help us to be involved. Help us to get plugged in, to get praying, to get active. And Lord, may our zeal for You be evident in our love for Your bride. Our love and desire to be under the teaching and preaching of Your word. Help us, Lord, not to take the easy route, but to challenge ourselves and say, do I really desire time with the church as I should? Or have I allowed excuses and apathy and selfishness, laziness? Are those the things that are leading me in my decisions on the church? Father, thank You for letting us be a part of this time. Thank You for that we can be restored, redeemed, picked up again, and used of You for Your glory. Father, we thank You for all this, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet this morning? As we have a time of invitation, would you respond to what the Lord is doing? Whatever that is, we ask that you would just respond to Him. Maybe you want to come and pray and say, Lord, give me that desire. Strengthen my heart and my passion for You and for Your church. Maybe you want to come and say, thank You, Lord, for this place, for Your church and what You're doing all around the world. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory as we sing to him this morning.